Sambat Oak is a Cambodian immigrant who's lived in Rochester for the past 14 years. The high school senior writes poems and stories about people and issues he sees around him. His talent and likable demeanor make him a popular speaker at local events. Rochester NAACP President Nate Adams praised Oak at this year's Martin Luther King Jr. Day rally.
And this brother is really about what Dr. King was about, okay? Peace, love for everybody, and bringing this community to a closer community and us being one. Okay, let's give Sam a nice round of applause.
I'm glad to see that many people here still desire to carry on in Martin Luther King's dream. But we have to make sure that what is said and what is heard today does not die in this room, but carry on throughout the...
Oak wears khaki pants, V-neck sweaters, and an easy smile. He makes good grades and wants to go to Hamline University this year. Oak's outspoken devotion to racial harmony make his three-day suspension last month for fighting in school that much more puzzling. Oak says he just snapped after a group of black students taunted him and his friends over several weeks with veiled racial put-downs.
You know, with the verbal tension between us and a couple of the physical fights that went on, you know, I just couldn't take it anymore, and just one of them said something to me, and then I responded, like, in a way that I knew I shouldn't respond.
Oak is a member of a youth group called Unity that promotes cultural understanding. At a forum sponsored by Unity, other students of various races, Somali, Chinese, Hmong, told stories of being singled out because they are different.
One of them locked the door. They hit me. Some of them choked me. I couldn't breathe for a while.
Three men, you know, grown men, jumped out of the vehicle with baseball bats and started hitting me because I was not of the same color skin that they were. They were white.
One weekend near the end of the school year, he was at a party, and the three people saw him outside at his car and started to hit him and kick him.
A dramatic change in Rochester's population fuels the tension. Between 1990 and 1997, city planners estimate the combined number of blacks, Hispanics, and Asians living in Rochester more than doubled, from about 4,500 to more than 9,200. Now people of color make up nearly 12% of Rochester's population. Many of the new residents moved here to benefit from Rochester's strong economy, touted on the cover of Money magazine. Conflicts boiled to the surface starting in August of 1996. A 12-year-old Somali boy had 8 teeth knocked out when he couldn't outrun a mob of whites yielding baseball bats. A 64-year-old Somali man was pushed to the ground, beaten, and kicked by several whites. And a 13-year-old paperboy of Somali descent was attacked and beaten by a carload of white teenagers. Since then, city leaders have made a conscious effort to put race on the agenda. There have been advertisements, school programs, and discussions among employers. Mayor Chuck Canfield now reminds residents of their responsibility to keep racial conflict at bay when he speaks in public, such as this press conference in City Hall.
That we as a community are growing in our understanding of how we all fit together. I think we're starting to get it. I think I'm starting to get it. I'm feeling more comfortable with it. You remember the city that you grew up in 1955, and things are different now.
What's different now, says Michelle Rugg-Severson, an independent diversity consultant, is that Rochester residents are finally facing the uncomfortable truth so often avoided in smaller communities.
There is nothing happening in Rochester, Minnesota that hasn't happened somewhere else. We had a cross-burning in Zumbrota. We had a cross-burning in Austin, Minnesota. Every city has struggled with these things. The benefit is we're starting to find out about it. And it's not like the young kid in sixth grade who gets picked on every single day and nobody ever knows.
Severson says acknowledging the problem is a good first step, but changing course is a slow and painful process. Rochester's Mayo High School is a round building with hallways leading out like spokes of a wheel to numbered doors. Students hang out at doors according to their social status. Door 6 is for the athletes and other popular students. Door 1 is for the alternative crowd, many sporting pierced eyebrows and baggy pants. Local human rights activists are alarmed at the degree to which students of color don't feel comfortable using the same doors as white students. Principal John Fredrickson downplays the apparent segregation at Mayo, saying racial tension is not any greater than at other high schools or even other public places.
Whenever you put 1,800 teenagers together in a building, I think we all understand that there is a potential for conflict, just like when you pack a lot of people into the Mall of America.
Rochester Mayo is Sam Oaks School. He says this is where many of the problems begin and that administrators could do a better job reducing the reasons kids turn on one another.
Seems like in school that there's like the assistant principal, the conflict mediators, and the police liaison in school. It seems like they have a lot of authority and they're in control of what's going on. But actually, I feel like all they do is just kick kids out of school when they have problems and let them handle their problems elsewhere.
Oak says without a place to go, kids have little hope of successfully resolving such conflicts. And then hard feelings and mistrust are inevitable. Concerned residents and city leaders say it's hard to tell yet whether their response to the racial attacks has made a difference. Assaults and bias crimes are down, mirroring national trends. But as Sam Oak and others point out, many crimes are not reported, and even when they are, it doesn't always move the discussion of diversity forward. In Rochester, I'm Art Hughes, Minnesota Public Radio.